And if you've been following the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, you'll know that it's been an important but often distressing process for victims and their loved ones. The most recent public hearing has focused on Beth Carr Children's Home, the state-run foster care facility that operated in Brewarrina in the 70s and 80s, and then later relocated to Orange. Tragically, it's not the only institution from our region that's been investigated by the Commission, and it probably won't be the last. It's anticipated that the Crow Patrick Orphanage in Orange, which was run by nuns of the Daughters of Charity up until 1969, will also go under the Commission's spotlight in the future. The work of the Royal Commission and the Catholic Church's response to date will be the focus of a meeting in Bathurst today. The Chief Executive Officer of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, Francis Sullivan, will be addressing members of the local Catholic community. But ahead of that, he joins us in the studio. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Now, the Royal Commission was announced by the then Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, in November 2012. The first public hearings were held in April 2013. Since then, over 17,000 calls have been handled by the Commission staff. Almost 8,000 letters and emails have been received, and around 2,500 private sessions have been held. At that big picture level, what do you believe has been the most significant impact of the Royal Commission so far?
Well, Angela, the most important thing about this Royal Commission is that people get an opportunity to tell their story. For many people, this is the first time. I think the statistics tell us that maybe one in six people actually tell somebody about what happened to them as a child. So it seems that the opening up of the Royal Commission has given people this opportunity. The Chief Judge, McClellan, has made it abundantly clear that there are something like 41 calls a day asking to have an opportunity to come to one of the private sessions. The government has extended the Royal Commission primarily for that purpose. So that's been a big plus. It's also extraordinarily important because in those private sessions, they name the institutions where the abuse occurred. And we know that about a third of the institutions named have been run by the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church's history is very confronting. It's a shocking history of abuse, cover-up, of putting the institution and its interests first, of really the hypocrisy that people feel, that a church that's meant to prize the well-being of people, prize truth and openness and honesty, actually handled this in exactly the opposite way.
How do you think this has affected hearing these stories and this sort of information coming through from you about the Catholic Church and other institutions? How do you think it's affected the Australian psyche so far?
Well, you know, I think we've all been shocked. I mean, I think the magnitude of the abuse across many institutions has really taken people short. They didn't realise. What's really distressing is that I think people didn't realise how many people don't tell their story. How many people maybe even listening now have their own story. They've never had an opportunity, or have they been able to. And hopefully, you know, they'll know through your show that they can contact the Royal Commission. They can contact the police, and in many instances they should.
Taking a step back, can you tell us, Francis, what is the role of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council in this process?
Well, when the Royal Commission was announced, the Catholic Church leaders said they welcomed it and they'd cooperate openly and fully. And of course, every Catholic said three cheers to that. But the Catholic Church is not one single monolithic structure. There's 40 dioceses around the country. There's 189 separate religious organisations. So to actually embrace and engage with the Royal Commission, they needed an entity. So one was created, the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, and I'm the CEO of that. And our job is to organise the Catholic Church's representation, to organise the documents that the Royal Commission requires, the files, the witnesses, to be involved in the public discussion, in the public policy debate about what's needed in the future.
And how challenging has that been to be inside the organisation and trying to move it along to address some of these very important issues?
Well, the process is grueling because, as I said at the very beginning, we need to give people an opportunity to tell their story and we need to hear those stories. So for me personally, it's been pretty grueling to actually listen one-on-one or in groups of survivors, but also to other people who have tried to explain how they handle things. There is a lot of goodwill inside the church, particularly from ordinary Catholics, that they want to see the leadership fess up to how things were handled. And that, you know, that helps, because at least you know you're on the same path. At least you know that in people's hearts they want the truth to come out. I mean, ordinary Catholics want to be able to hold their head high. And the history in this is shameful.
In terms of, truth, justice and healing, right, is the name of the council. In terms of the justice side of things, what does justice look like?
Well, when you talk to survivors, there are a couple of basic things they always say. The first thing they say is, I want to be believed. And of course, if you're talking to an adult about what happened 20 odd years ago, the trouble for many people is the perpetrator is dead. The other problem, of course, is the nature of child sex abuse. There are no witnesses. So when someone turns up 20 odd years later, they want to be believed. Secondly, they also want to belong. Doesn't mean they want to belong back in the Catholic Church, but they want to feel they're part of a nurturing community, and that the history that they're carrying isn't in some way going to make life even worse.
As you would know, Francis, many of those people feel like they haven't been believed in the looking specifically at the Catholic Church. What does that process look like for the Church in terms of those people feeling like they are believed?
Well, that's right, Angela. And the Church did have in place complaints handling systems and the like. And it worked for some and it didn't for others. But we've made abundantly clear now, and the Church leadership has agreed, the days of the Church investigating itself are over. There needs to be an independent body where people can go with their complaints. They can be independently assessed. It can be determined what redress they need. And then the Church pays. Now, that has to happen for any victim, anywhere, anytime, any institution. And governments and big institutions like the Catholic Church need to back that in. First it's established, then the institutions pay. That way individuals will know that when people are looking at their circumstance, there is no institutional agenda running. There's no sort of conflicts of interest.
You would appreciate that people feel cynical about that, that there might be people listening today who think, oh, yeah, sure. How will it come to be? What needs to be in place to assure people that it really is going to happen?
Well, there is some hope. I mean, the Royal Commissioner himself, Justice McClellan, has made it clear that we need a national redress scheme. And we have backed that in and added to it that it's absolutely vital that redress, compensation, support is determined by an independent body, not by the Catholic Church. Sure, it's paid for by the Catholic Church, but people will have more hope if there is some type of entity and process away from the Church. And I think the Royal Commission is moving down that path, and people need to turn around and say to their local members of parliament, at the end of the day, this will require governments to support this. And governments can't run away, as you just mentioned in your intro. Government organisations also are at fault. And unfortunately, we've got a social issue here for Australia that we need to address.
And the Royal Commission has been doing some work on redress schemes and looking at options of late, and it'll be very interesting to see how that moves forward. Another part of the work of the Royal Commission is not just about looking back, but about preventing child abuse in institutions like the Catholic Church in the future. What is the Catholic Church? What are the discussions about this into the future?
Two things. Firstly, the Royal Commission's asking all institutions to smarten up around working with children checks, and there may be recommendations coming out of it about what needs to occur for uniformity across the country. But we also, our council, as a reform agenda, are commencing in the new year the process of establishing a supervisory body inside the Catholic Church that will hold all dioceses, all religious orders, to account on a set of standards of child protection and what they call safeguarding, and that there will be independent audits done of those organisations, and the results of those audits will be made public. So we'll be setting the bar higher and higher so that people can have confidence that children are safe in the Catholic Church.
And just lastly, Francis, in terms of restoring faith in the Catholic Church and other institutions that have had the light shone on them over this process to date, and there's a long way to go yet, what do you think is most important for the wider community to have faith in the Catholic Church in the future?
Well, words won't do it. Action always does it. There's no doubt that people are very cynical about the church. They need to see the church put itself at risk. That means the payments to victims need to be substantial and real. It means that the measures that the church says it will put in place, it actually does put in place. It means that when you say victims are more important than the church, that they actually see that through action.
How's it been travelling around the country, talking in communities, in regional communities in particular, as you're doing in Bathurst today?
You know, I love it, to be honest. I mean, it's nice getting out of Canberra, but we're in Leeton recently, we're in Bathurst today, and Launceston a week or so back. And I'm bowled over by the, firstly, the turnout, secondly, the intense interest people have in this issue, the heartfelt interest actually, because so many people know someone, and also the determination people feel on the ground to hold the church leadership to task. I mean, it's pretty heartening actually, and I think the trouble for the Catholic Church, at least, it's left most of its adult members in the dark on how it's handled this for so long. As I say, it's time for the adults to come out and talk about it.
And that will be happening in Bathurst today. I'm glad you were able to come across to Orange and speak to us this morning. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.